We're going to connect now, it sounds like, with John Shushart calling in.
All the best. Cheers, everyone.
From Ipswich, Massachusetts. John, are you there, and can you hear us?
Yes, yes.
All right. Do you have a radio on in the background by any chance that might need to be turned down, or is there a feedback?
Yeah. Okay. Is that okay?
Perfect. Perfect, John. So John is just returning from a poor people's encampment. I'm wearing my Resist t-shirt today, John, and I'm coming from the celebration honoring of the Middle Passage 20th anniversary, and we'll be talking about all these things here on Memorial Day. But tell us where you've just been today, where you've been yesterday, where we're going, and what is happening out there. How's it going?
Well, thanks, Kieran. You're right. We're moving, and it's a very, very powerful and inspiring. I know your T-shirt, which was a tremendously powerful work of art by your sister Ethna, with a mandate written above the picture of Dr. Martin Luther King, "Resist," is touching a lot of people. And your mother and I were wearing our "Resist" Martin Luther King T-shirts yesterday at the Hanscom Air Force Base, where the Massachusetts Peace Action, the American Friends Service Committee, Veterans for Peace, and a variety of churches undertook the first walk and vigil and direct action at this headquarters for what the Pentagon calls the modernization of nuclear weapons command, control, communication systems of all nuclear weapons worldwide of the U.S. Now, of course, you know you can't modernize something that is the most primitive, barbaric weapon or a technology of atrocity in world history. So we're deep into the misuse of language and deep into the illusions. The Pentagon even released a statement that they were going to update their command control communication systems to be survivable and endurable. Can you imagine a greater lie, a greater expression of fantasy and illusion than survivable and endurable? I suppose after the cataclysm, the computers will be talking to each other, but what about the people? So this was a powerful action. Six people knelt across the entrance, shut down the Air Force Base for a period of time, and beginning an effort to awaken the East Massachusetts area, the region, to the fact that it is now a nuclear target of primary importance. And these so-called weapons, you can't fight with them. These so-called weapons are a tremendous liability, provide only insecurity, and they must be abolished. So that was a very powerful day yesterday.
And just to be clear, it was nonviolent civil disobedience in the tradition of Martin Luther King and Gandhi, the speaking truth to power, the bearing witness of putting your body on the line, crossing the line, and intentionally becoming arrested, much like King did in the civil rights movement, to bring awareness and change to an absolutely illegal and immoral system, in this case, a system of the use of nuclear weapons as a violent threat to all those who would stand up to the American empire. So this was folks getting arrested and actually being processed in which would the police department be over there, and how did that go?
Well, we were arrested by the Lincoln Police Department. They were very professional and respectful, and we appreciated their fulfilling their roles. We'll be in court in Concord District Court in the morning, and we hope the judge there will recognize the duty, the obligation that citizens have to take action in the face of crimes against humanity. We're 60, 70 years past the Nuremberg rulings, which put into the supreme law of the land of the United States under Article 6 of our Constitution the duty, certainly the right, it's not illegal to cross the line where there's crimes against humanity, but it's actually an obligation, a duty for citizens to intervene. So we hope the judges tomorrow morning might recognize that. Tragically, over the years, we've seen these judges quite afraid of the law, quite afraid of studying the law, quite afraid of actually viewing themselves as responsible. And they usually make a mockery of the law and convict people. And we're doing nothing more, as you mentioned, Kieran, than I call it, we were sitting in at the lunch counter of genocide. We were just sitting in at the lunch counter of genocide. And a simple act, no reason for a judge to, you know, make a knee-jerk ruling to come down on the side of genocide or to protect nuclear weapons, but they usually do.
Hmm.
Our judiciary is in a kind of a state of moral collapse at the present with their creation of mass imprisonment of the poor, largely not people of color, all the poor who've had no opportunities in this country because we're bleeding to death from feeding the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll test that in the waters of the legal system of Concord, Massachusetts in the morning. We're happy to be there in the home of Henry David Thoreau, who really was the origin of the entire world movement of nonviolent resistance for Gandhi, for King, for Mandela in South Africa, countries around the world, really inspired by Henry David Thoreau.
Pretty amazing. And now here we are today on Memorial Day. My show happens to fall on all our Monday holidays, which we have Labor Day, we have Veterans Day, we have Memorial Day, Martin Luther King Day. We have lots of Monday holidays, but today, Memorial Day, as a veteran yourself, as a member of Veterans for Peace, as having just been arrested in the face of the Strategic Nuclear Command Center at Hanscom in Massachusetts, what do you make of this holiday, and what would you have to share with those? We just had a combat veteran, a Vietnam combat veteran in our studio today, sharing a little bit of his story, not too much, but just some words on that, if you would.
Well, I was in Boston today with Veterans for Peace and the Poor People's Campaign, which, as you know, is a campaign of 40 weeks of moral Monday actions across the nation, which are truly awakening and inspiring the citizenry to the plunder of our economy by the billionaires, the generals, and the corporations. Because, you know, our government in Washington is now reflects nothing but billionaires, corporations, and generals. It's always had an overarching influence, but at the present time, there's nothing but, and it's ruled by money and power and corruption on a degree never before seen. So the people are rising, and Memorial Day, it needs to be remembered as a day of mourning. It's a day of somber sadness and grief. And it began with the widows and the mothers and the loved ones of the slaughter of the war between the North and the South, in which the North brutally conquered and suppressed the movement for secession of the South. And the widows went out to the graves in places like Gettysburg, where North and Southern soldiers were buried willy-nilly together on the battlefield, and they placed flowers on every grave because they recognized this is a scene of not heroism, but of tragic slaughter, human slaughter, a catastrophe for our humanity. And it maintained that quality of mourning and seriousness after the catastrophe of 1914, 1918, when the poppy in Flanders fields, the poppies grow, stand the graves row on row. And the poppy was that symbol, and most of the memorials at that time showed grieving mothers, grieving women, symbols again of grief. But over the decades now, as war has become endless war against invisible enemies, Memorial Day has become militarized, so you have guns and flags and uniforms and a tragic sense of nationalism with an ignorance of the common need of humanity for survival now under the sword of Damocles of nuclear weapons. So we revive that today in Boston with a somber ceremony led by Veterans for Peace, memorializing those lost in war, and not just the soldiers, all of the countless civilians. Modern war claims 80-90% of the victims are women and children, are civilians. And remembering all those soldiers who died after they came home, the suicides, because the consciences were violated, their souls were damaged, and they took their lives. But were they not also casualties of war? And yet they've been completely erased and ignored, overlooked. So our Memorial Day recognition, it's not a celebration, our ceremonies brought forth all these underlying truths that no one wins a war, nothing but losers, and war is the great lie currently gripping our nation.
And how appropriate in this day and age where war seems to loom ever larger and ever clear and present. And
yes,
particularly
yes.
The nuclear aspect. So my thanks to you for taking a stand, for putting yourself on the line, for being at the Poor People's Encampment in Boston today, and for calling in the show and sharing with us on this Memorial Day, John. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Karen. Carry on, carry forward. Love those inspiring songs of the rising in Ireland. Let's see the spirit rise in North America.
All right. Amen to that. John Shushart, thanks again. Calling in from Ipswich, Massachusetts, the House of Peace, and representing the Veterans for Peace. And John, also a member of the very first Plowshares action ever to take place in the United States back in 1980, and holding it down as the conscience of the country and in the face of the military industrial complex.